I'm Gregory Berg. For this St. Patrick's Day, I have dug deep into the Morning Show archives to retrieve an interview I recorded more than 20 years ago, back in 2003, with a gifted and delightful Irishman by the name of Malachy McCourt, younger brother of best-selling author Frank McCourt. As I prepared this podcast, I went looking to see if Malachy McCourt was still with us and discovered that he passed away less than a week ago on Monday, March 11th, at the age of 92. Malachy McCourt was himself a very gifted writer. His books include two different memoirs, A Monk Swimming and Singing My Hymn Song. And he also had an extensive resume as an actor in both television and film. I remember with great fondness the two occasions on which I was privileged to speak with Malachy McCourt. We are off to Ireland today, courtesy of author Malachy McCourt, responsible for a very, very interesting book called The Cladda Ring, Ireland's cherished symbol of friendship, loyalty, and love. This is a book published by Running Press, and Malachy McCourt has written a number of different books, including bestsellers like A Monk Swimming, Singing My Hymn Song, and the recent Danny Boy. And he has been editing a literary anthology called Voices of Ireland, which I hope he will tell us a little bit about. He has also been an actor. Perhaps you have seen him in the HBO television series Oz and in feature films such as Ash Wednesday. And we're really grateful that Malachy McCourt can join us for a few minutes to talk about the beautiful Cladda Ring and the beautiful book which he has written about it. Malachy McCourt, we welcome you to The Morning Show.
Well, as we say in the Gaelic there, Greg, Gorev Mahagut, which means in the Gaelic, thank you. And the Irish will never use one word where a thousand will do. And indeed, you know, there's no word for yes and no word for no in the Gaelic language. And there are no what they call obscenities.
Hmm.
And they always describe an action, you know. For instance, they don't say somebody is drunk. They say, Toshe Arlakion, he is at half head.
Hmm.
And there we are. I just had a very nice time in Milwaukee, actually.
How was that?
Last week. I was doing a show called A Couple of Blackguards at the Pabst Theatre.
Oh, that's a beautiful place, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. And so we had, it's a show that my brother Frank and myself wrote some years back. A Couple of Blackguards I did with a fellow called Har Platt playing he played Frank and I did myself. But we had wonderful audiences there. They were so responsive and we had a great time all together.
Very good. Very good. We want to talk with you about this beautiful Cladda Ring, which many have heard about. You open your book actually talking about the terrible events of September 11th and how for some, actually, that event helped in a sense to bring some new prominence maybe to people that had not heard of a Cladda Ring before. Explain why September 11th was something that you thought was worth talking about in light of this.
The people there, Greg, thought that they would identify their beloved husband or brother, son, father, sister, mother, aunt, by going down and saying, well, my beloved was wearing a Cladda ring. And they described the ring, two hands around the heart and the crown on top. And they were told very, very gently that although the ring is unique, it was not unique amongst the dead at the World Trade Center. I used to call it Ground Zero. I find that a very disrespectful, bureaucratic, cold-hearted description of a killing field. But so anyway, they said they were told that yes, indeed, it is a beautiful ring and all that. But there were also 200 other rings found in the area, so that it could not be just a single identifying symbol for any one human being there.
Hmm.
Because so many of the firefighters and the police officers and the people at Cantor Fitzgerald and at Aon, the other, that financial firm that was there, so many of them were of Irish extraction.
You mentioned
many of them were wearing them.
You mentioned the fact that that the Irish that Irish Americans have really gravitated towards these kind of service occupations like fighting fires. In fact, you give us a very interesting statistic from the years 1865 to 1905. 100 firemen killed in New York City. Two-thirds of them were Irish. That really helps prove the connection. What is it about the Irish character that would draw them in such numbers to this kind of work?
Well, some people would think, Greg, that it has to do with security. It has to do with pensions. Has to do with, you know, with how your future and all that. But there's an inherent sense, I think, in the Irish people of service that when we question, as many of us do, what is it we're doing here on this earth? And so it comes to, well, they have come to the conclusion, I think, and from ancient times, really, that the only purpose on earth here is to be of service. And because all else is obscure, I don't know why I'm here, so I found out is the best thing to do about it, I suppose, tell the truth and do some service. Hmm. And I think they have that in the it's genetic, I think. So you'll find that those folks heading into a building that was going to where they were going to die. And of course, every time they go into a building, they know, they feel that there's always that chance anyway that they're not going to come out except feet first. So I think there is that genetic thing in the bones of doing service.
Let's talk about the Cladder Ring. It's such a beautiful thing. And the mystery, which to some extent surrounds its creation. We really don't know exactly how it came about, and you tell actually two related but different stories which might explain its origin. Both surround members of the Joyce family.
Yes, in jewelry and indeed all symbols, the heart always takes a prominent part, and we think about it. The heart has to do largely with love. I give my heart to you, you have my heart is in your hands, or you're breaking my heart, as they sing in the country and Western songs. So it always has to do with love. And this ring symbolizes all, I think, that's so beautiful in human nature. It's symbolic of friendship, of loyalty, of caring, and that one word which so many people have great difficulty with, that four-letter word, love, that so many people have difficulty in saying that. Americans are reticent about really and genuinely looking at somebody and saying, I love you. And the Irish are even more reticent about that. And it's very hard for them to use that word, because there's a connotation, perhaps, that is too near to lust to say, I love you. But so these two stories have to do, of course, with love. One is that a young man named Joyce went off. He was going somewhere, and he was captured by pirates some hundreds of years ago, and he was sold into slavery to an Egyptian goldsmith. And there he became an expert designer and maker of gold and jewelry. And pining for his beloved in Cladder in Ireland, he designed this ring with the heart and the hands around it and the crown of, they say, of Morocco, just to give a little obeisance to the king there at the time. And he kept that ring secreted. And then when he was released, or maybe escaped, went back to Ireland, and he found that his beloved had waited. She was still single and pining for him. So he put that ring on her finger as a sign of betrothal, and then he put it on again for their wedding, and they lived, I suppose, reasonably happy after that. And it's become the... I dislike the term coat of arms, because it always connotes militarism and so on. But it's the beauty of it is that it's a symbol of the Joyce family now. And the other story is, of course, the young woman who was seen by a Spanish grandee washing her laundry in the River Corrib there in Galway, in the Claddagh area as well. And he fell madly in love with her and went to her father on his knees begging for her hand in marriage. And the father assented to that, providing that she would likewise assent. And she said yes. And he took her off to Spain and installed her in this huge mansion with lots of servants and luxuries, necessities, wants, everything met. But then he went and died on her, leaving her this sort of extremely wealthy but lonely widow, padding about these huge mansions that she had and all the servants. And she decided that was not for her, so she went back to Ireland, and with all her wealth, she got into her own little philanthropic ventures, which was mainly building little bridges for the folks in that area, because in the wintertime, the streams would flood, and they were unable to ford them and get into the towns to get their groceries or whatever, their food and necessities, and she built these bridges. So one day, it is said, she was sitting on the parapet of one of her little bridges, surveying it with a great deal of satisfaction at what she had wrought, when something plopped into her lap. And looking up, she saw that there was an eagle flapping lazily in the direction of Galway Bay. Now, of course, normally when something plops on you from a passing bird, something else comes into your head. And it wasn't an egg, and it wasn't that other thing. When she looked, it happened to be this ring with the heart and the hands and the crown on top that had landed in her lap. And where it came from, nobody knows, but it is said that that was her reward for being this wonderful philanthropic lady.
Hmm. I love how your book not only includes a wonderful, detailed, textured retelling of both of these tales, but that you also spend a fair amount of time describing to us this village of Claddagh, for
yes.
whom the for which the ring is named, in its earlier days, that is. And I like how at one point you quote a writer as describing this lovely little seaport as a triumph of unconscious beauty.
Yes.
Explain what you think that writer meant by that.
Well, it's the folks there are just whatever they are. They were simply what they were. They were fisher folks who had made their living over the years just going out and fighting the elements. And you have they wore these white. Fishermen's sweaters, and the thing about it is that because they dealt with life and death and survival and securing the necessities in the fishing department, they did never learn to swim, because there was a kind of an Irish fatalism, which was almost Eastern in its acceptance of that they would always like the firefighters and the policemen, that they would likely die when they went out to the sea, because their craft were very delicate. They were just simply canvas-covered coracles, as they were, and coracles. And so they'd go out to sea, and if they didn't learn to swim, because it would take too long to drown, and to fight it would prolong the misery and the agony of dying. If you tried to swim, and generally speaking, you didn't make it. So they would just accept the fact that they were going to die, and they would do that. And the sweaters all had, all the families had their own design on these white sweaters, so that the body could be recognized, because these sweaters did not rot, because they kept the lanolin oil in there, and which lasts apparently for almost a century. So those folks there, they went to what, and they resisted incursions into their lives, into their traditions, into their culture. They kept the language secure. They kept their dietary stuff secure. They kept their habits secure. And despite the fact that they were able to resist the incursions of six of those tribes before St. Patrick, they were able to resist St. Patrick for a long time and what he brought. And the Norse people who came in eventually couldn't get in there either. Neither could the Normans, nor neither could the English. And it stayed quite independent for a long, long time. One English writer said that they were, during the famine times, they were quite dirty and all that. But he said, at least, he said, you know, they may be dirty on the outside, he said, but their hearts are clean. Mm. And I find these days with so many of the Irish who have come over here, who have forgotten where they came from. Most of their grandfathers didn't have an arch to their trousers. And yet these people are now conservatives, which to me is a form of brain damage. And I don't think you can be Irish and be a conservative, because it's at variance with everything that that Irish people hold dear. But they are, they do become that. So I say they're clean on the outside, their hearts are dirty.
The three components of the Clada ring, hands and the crown and the heart, what does each signify?
Well, of course, the heart is the love portion and the love potion. And the hands, of course, are of friendship, and the crown denotes loyalty. There are other aspects of it that have been compared. It's been compared to the Trinity, which St. Patrick demonstrated the three persons in one God by picking up the shamrock and showing that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the three leaves of the shamrock on one stem, so three persons in one God. So they've used that. Some people have thought that the Clada ring has the same symbolism, the crown is God the Father, and each of the hands is, one is the Holy Ghost, and one is the Son. And so that's the one aspect of it. So I don't buy that one myself, because I think perhaps the Clada ring may be more ancient than when young Joyce designed it. He may have seen something else from the jewel. The Irish are not known for the visual arts. We are known mostly for the words, having produced an enormous amount of writers and poets, all the way from Jonathan Swift and even the ones before him, and up to Oscar Wilde and to Beckett and to Yeats and to O'Casey, and all the way to the present day, up to Seamus Heaney and a fellow named Frank McCourt, who is a brother of mine. But we're more known for the words than we are for the visual arts. But in olden times, there were gold mines around there in Ireland, and there were so in the National Museum, they have amulets and they have jewelry and bronze and brass and gold, which are quite beautiful. And of course, in other cultures, they've always used the heart and the hands in their symbols.
One thing that you mention is that although the Clada ring is an ancient thing, it is very much with us today, and not just in the context of September 11th, as you talk about, but that for young people of Irish descent, this is still very much a cherished memento, and not just in the context of a ring of betrothal, as it is sometimes used, but sometimes simply for something like friendship. This is a very powerful symbol right to the present day.
It is, and if you wear it, I mean, of course, there's... a ritual, a tradition of wearing in a certain way. If you wear it on the right hand with the heart pointing towards the nail, means that you're uncommitted and that you're available. And if you wear it on the left hand with the heart pointing in towards your heart, and that means, of course, that you are committed to somebody else. Also, what's interesting these days, too, is that the people are getting themselves tattooed with the Kladder symbol. And a lot of the, I found out that a lot of the young African-American rappers have found it out, and they are giving it, they're exchanging the Kladder rings themselves.
So wow.
Rappers, yeah.
What would those fishermen of Kladder have thought about that, I wonder?
Wouldn't it be an amazing thing? But then, of course, would Spain be far away, that far away with all that connection? Because the Moors, you know, who were in Spain, were expelled from Spain by the Inquisition, right? And they went off to back to Morocco. So there's always that human connection.
Huh. Well, intriguing questions abound in this beautiful book called The Kladder Ring, Ireland's Cherished Symbol of Friendship, Loyalty, and Love, which along the way also teaches us something about Irish history, some of the brighter and some of the darker chapters in its history, and it's the importance of its culture to this very day. It's published by Running Press, and the author, Malachy McCourt. Malachy McCourt, what a pleasure to read this book and to have a few minutes to talk with you about it today on The Morning Show. I'm so grateful for you joining us.
It was my great pleasure, and I had a wonderful time there at the Pabst Theatre and in Milwaukee. Generous and warm and hospitable and welcoming city. And I would also like to say that these days we need, and I know people are doing this, they're great readers there in Milwaukee, that our public libraries do need support these days because of all kinds of attacks being made and cutbacks and all that. And this idiotic Patriotic Act, which is allowing incursions into our privacy. And I want to stand, the librarians are great people. They are the keepers of the flame, and they are the ones who guide us towards knowledge and wisdom. So here's for librarians, and let freedom ring.
Malachy McCourt, we thank you for joining us today on The Morning Show.
Thank you, Greg.